Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Now we get all types of emails into jen@rte.ie. People share their ups and downs. Some offer advice and some look for it. Like this emailer who says, Hi Jen, I find your show really informative and I'm hoping that there are people who feel the same as me. I'm sure there are, and maybe someone out there will have some advice on how to cope. You see, my father has a drug addiction. It is consuming his whole life, but yet he is in complete denial. His addiction became a real problem the past 3 years, and I am tired of pleading with him to stop. I have asked him to get help numerous times and he just responds with, I don't need help, I'm grand now. Although I know he is not okay. I'm not sure if he's trying to convince me or himself that he is okay. I feel like I might as well be in addiction with him because I am suffering just as much, but I don't get any high at the end. He promises me he is after stopping and I won't have to worry about him again. However, his promises only last 2 or 3 days and then he's back into his bad habits. I've lost track of the amount of times he has made these promises to me, and when I realise he's back using drugs, it just breaks my heart and I end up being so angry for believing him again, but also so upset that he let me down again. I spend my days worrying about him, waiting for a phone call to say he's died of an overdose and grieving for the father that I once had because he is not that person anymore. Today, I finally got the courage to walk away and tell him that I will be here to have a relationship with him once he gets help. But until then, I don't want him to be part of my life because it is killing me to see him killing himself. It is the hardest thing I've ever had to do. I feel so guilty for walking away when he is at his lowest, but I feel that if I don't do this now, it will continue to consume my life. I feel that I am the parent and he is the child. I don't want him to be my responsibility. I want to be able to live my own life without feeling a constant, overwhelming sense of sadness and guilt. I would really appreciate it if any of your listeners have experienced the same and have any advice on how to make life a little easier. Thank you. Now, regular listeners to the show will know that reformed addict and life change strategist Brian Penny is the man we look to for advice in situations like this. And he's on the line. Brian, good morning.
Good morning, Jen. How are you keeping?
Good. Now, a lot going on in that email. Woo! Oh, so
it's
much.
Heartbreaking.
Can we talk? Can we start with the addict and the denial part of it?
Yeah, big time. And the father, the addicted person, the father in this letter, like, this is a common story of self-deception. And people just keep on lying because, and they believe their own lies. That's the problem. Like, I personally was the addict in this story before. I've experienced with that. And since I've gotten clean myself, I have experience being in the other person's shoes looking at that. And the problem is that people that are addicted like that, they genuinely believe their own lies. That's why they're so convincing. And they're genuinely trying to stop using the drugs, but they always break their promises despite their best efforts. So I think the reason why this letter is so heartbreaking, because I think there's best efforts going on from both sides. And that's what makes it so sad.
Is the addict just lying to themselves, or do they know what's up?
Yeah, so here's the thing, right? So addiction is like, it's multidimensional. There's so many things going on. But I think one of the core tenets in addiction is self-deception, denial, what it's called. Like, you're denying your reality. And there's a term in psychology called cognitive dissonance. And I noticed this as well. Like, I couldn't live with my reality. I couldn't live with the feelings of my reality when I was in addiction. So I told myself a lie and believed it. Now, there's a knowledge, like, you know what's going on. The addict isn't stupid. Most people in addiction are very clever and very smart, because it's very hard to be in addiction. Like, you have to be clever in what you're doing. So you know to some extent, but you don't really believe it. There's just a lot of confusion going on. So it's a mixture of believing your own lies and a mixture of just not being willing to acknowledge the reality of the situation.
I love in your book Bonus Time you talk about, you know, you were so much in denial that you would eat a bag of carrots, run on a treadmill and then do a bag of spag because you thought, you know, that's that's kind of
look at me go.
Look at me go. I can do it all.
Yeah.
Let's
yeah.
talk about the listener then, the person who emailed. We know it's been 3 years since this became a problem. How difficult is it for family members over a period like that?
I sometimes think, Jen, that it could be actually more difficult for family members than the person actually struggling in addiction. To an extent, like it's crazy because they're like, their cognitive capacities are fully there. They're not using the drugs to numb their emotions, so they're watching this as a spectator. And there's a great line in addiction circles that addiction is not a spectator sport. Eventually, the whole family get to play. And this is the fact. And I think families sometimes struggle more so because it is completely outside of their control. Like the things that tend to make us stress and anxious more than anything else are the things that are outside of your control. But when it's a loved one destroying themselves and there's nothing you can do about it, it's so heartbreaking. It really is.
Have you spoken to your own family about how your problems affected them?
100%. Yeah, I had to do it on numerous occasions. And it's an ongoing process, to be quite honest. Like they still haven't fully recovered from the experiences that I brought them through, and I don't think they ever will. But I think you have to be careful. There was a word in that letter that really jumped out at me there, and it was the word guilt. And for me, if you live in guilt, you're not going to be able to focus on yourself in the moment, which is the only person. Like if I harmed my family, but I can't help what I did back then. I can help what I do now. So you have to start to try, and it's so difficult, let go of guilt and regret so you can control what you can control, your response to the situation in the moment, and do something about it now. And that was sort of fundamental with my own challenges, like talking to my family, talking to my mom and my sister in particularly, and just being there for them and letting them speak about the issues that they had and the struggles that they had. Because as we know, this stuff, like the emotions of that, it lives in your body, it stays mm-hmm. with you, and it can be really tough.
Our listener says she is constantly worried and dreads that call, you know, to say he's dead. How can she manage that fear?
Yeah, it's there's no magic wand. That's the unfortunate thing. But there's something that I talk about a lot for people in addiction and if they're struggling with family members and what they can do. And for me, there's like three seeds. And this goes for any problem behavior, really. If you have to let someone go or someone's really struggling and you're struggling because they're struggling. And there's three seeds, and the fourth seed is telling them what to do. And as we know, that does not work, like especially with people in addiction. Now you can see, you could say, look, try a focus group, maybe go to a meeting, maybe reach out to an addiction center. But if they believe their own lies, they're not going to go there, and talking to them rationally just won't work. So the second seed, what I say, is like active listening, like just give them a hug and say, look, I'm here for you. I'm here for you. If you want to talk, tell me. I won't judge. I'll just listen to what you have to say. I think this is really critical, that if they are willing to talk, to listen, to understand, be there fully, actively listen. Don't try to fix the situation and say, look, I'm here for you. If you want to talk, and if you're constructively trying to do something about it. But if they're not doing anything about it and they're not willing and they're not even believing their own lies, sometimes you just have to walk away and let them know, look, say, look, this is killing me. I can't live with this right now. And again, give them a hug. Tell them that you're there if they're looking for help. But in this moment, I need to look after myself, my own mental health. And that gives you permission then, because that's what you can do. That's what's in your control. You can actually look after your own mental health. And then if you do that and start to create a gap between you and the suffering that's going on, when they are looking for help, if they are looking for help down the line, which they likely will, you'll be in a very good position to be able to help them. And really, it gives you permission as well, and valid permission to go and look after yourself, because you've only one shot at life, and you can't ruin your own life in guilt and worry by focusing on something that's completely outside of your control. So it's okay to look after yourself.
It's interesting, walking away, the notion of walking away. I mean, family and friends must be, you know, riddled with guilt, you know, with doing that, but it it can be the only answer. I just got a text in, Brian, saying I'm a recovering addict. 3 years clean and sober. Well done. And I think the best thing that woman did was walk away, as hard as it is. If my family hadn't walked away from me, it wouldn't have made me want to change. I have a great relationship again with my family, but it took for them to walk away to make me wake up and realise the people I was hurting as well as myself. She has to mind herself and all of this. And you're kind of saying the same thing. And it's really interesting because when you think of an addict, you know, you think, well, they need help. They're obviously hurting so bad to be self-medicating or whatever. Surely they need all their family and friends around them. But there must just come a point, like this emailer says, where it's detrimental to their lives.
Yeah, definitely. And the thing is, so it's walking away, but letting them know that you're there if they're looking for help. So it's an element of walking away. But it was funny, I was in an addiction focus group there the other day. It was interesting that I seen it before I came on to chat to you. And the amount of people that, these are all people mostly in addiction, that are saying the same thing. Like, sometimes there's nothing you can do. And here's like that person that texted in and myself who were in addiction saying the same thing. Because if somebody walked away from me, if my family walked away from me earlier in my life, my family were amazing for me and were instrumental in my recovery when I looked for help. But if they walked away from me earlier, I potentially would have gotten clean even earlier. And there's a lovely metaphor that I think really encapsulates this. It's a metaphor from acceptance and commitment therapy. And it's like, if you walk away, it's going to be really, really tough. And there's nothing you can do about it. But it's like a weed grown in your garden. So that weed is growing in your garden, and no matter what, you cannot get rid of that weed. You try to pull it up, it grows back. But what do? Do you let that weed just destroy your whole life and destroy the whole garden? Or do you just acknowledge that it's there and just tend to it when it's ready? Like, just basically look after the other flowers in the garden, your actions, your behavior, your family, the other good things in your life. And then, like, that weed will always be there, that problem, that guilt, it will always be there to a certain extent, but don't let it affect the other elements of your life. And I think that is really, really critical. And then if the person in addiction is looking for help down the line, which is very likely down the line, you'll be in a position to help them then. And that's the key piece.
I mean, she's made a brave decision of, I mean, it is brave to cut off that person, your dad, your brother, your sister, whatever. How can she try and think about a way forward now, Brian?
Yeah, and you know what as well? You can feel the love in the letter. That's what's so heartbreaking about it. And there's so much wisdom in that as well. To push forward, to move forward, there's lots of different tools. I think the awareness is the key. And I think this person has already got that awareness. They've realized what's actually going on, that this is really detrimental to their health. The one thing, probably the best bit of advice I could give would be to go to Al-Anon. So Al-Anon is, like, everyone knows AA, Alcoholics Anonymous. But Al-Anon is basically a group that helps loved ones of people in addiction.
Right.
And they are really, really brilliant. They will have a lot of the tools, a lot of the action, a lot of the tools basically that will help people in that situation. But for me as well, like, I really think when you think about guilt and remorse and all of these different things, it's, you're delving into the past. I think, and it sounds cliche as it is, but, like, freedom lives in the present moment. Like, the reason why so many people are anxious right now and over the last year is because they're afraid of the future, the unpredictable and the uncertain future. That's where anxiety lives. But depression and sadness and melancholy, they all live in the past, about regrets and guilt and what you should have done. So it's really trying to focus on what you can do in the present moment, focusing on your response to the situation. And give a snapshot, like, write down a simple list, like, what is outside of your control in that? The behaviors of her dad is outside of her control. There's absolutely nothing she can do. And even if she stayed there, she's really just to realize she'd be just enabling the behaviors, because you're helping the person. If you're there in any way, you're nearly helping them with their addiction by being there to emotionally support them with their addiction if they're still using. So the realization to just walk away is absolutely crucial. And to practice, like, meditation, to practice these kinds of tools, to be grateful for the time that she did have with her dad, and these kinds of things just really help you to distance yourself from the problematic emotions and thoughts that live in the past.
I just got a text in again. Please tell that woman to keep doing what she's doing. She is so strong. She's definitely doing the right thing. My husband is a recovering addict. He has been in and out of addiction for the last 15 years. He wrote off our car, which is when it was really bad. We were in debt, thousands and thousands of euro. He's clean and sober today, and I will take it day at a time. If he is clean today, then I will take that. There's lots of support for families in addiction. So take any support being given out. Going back to your point of Al-Anon. Is that what it's called, Al-Anon, for families?
Al-Anon. A-L and then A-N-O-N.
Yeah, I've never heard of them before. And that's really interesting that the families and, you know, of the addict are in much need of support and tools, you were talking about, to deal with this, because it casts a shadow over everyone's life, doesn't it? So that's really important.
It really does. And a very simple little thing as well, Jenna, like a really tangible tool, is write down a list of the reasons why you need to stay away. Because sometimes our memories and our emotions pull us back in. So just write down a simple little list. And every time you think of going back or you're feeling that guilt, look at the reasons why you have to stay away, of all the bad things that happened. And something like that can just give you a reminder to stay strong.
Great advice. Brian Penny, thank you so much for joining us. Best of luck with everything. And I'll chat to you soon.
Thanks, Jen.
Thanks, Brian. There we go. That is Brian Penny. You can catch him on Instagram. He does a lot of very good workshops, not only about addiction, but on stress and managing anxiety. Go and give him a follow at Brian Penny, P-E-N-N-I-E. He is on Instagram. And thanks again for coming on the show. Now, our listener wanted to stay anonymous, but I just want to thank her and hope that we have helped her to, you know, think more clearly about the situation. If you have any experience or advice you'd like to pass on to her, you can text me 51552 or you can email Jen at rte.ie. I'll see you in a sec.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.